Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being a part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Mitzi Perdue is here. Mitzi is, she's become a great member of our Brain Trust. She's a Harvard-educated and George Washington University-educated past president of the 3,500-member America's Agri-Women organization. She was a U.S. delegate to the United Nations Conference on Women in Nairobi. She was the partner in life and probably a little bit of business in the man who brought chicken to America, Frank Perdue. And she's the author of Tough Man, Tough Chicken, and she's our friend. And that last part, that we're the most happy about that. Mitzi Perdue, welcome back to the show.
What a complete joy to be back with you and your friends.
It's good to have you back, Mitzi, and thank you for coming back. And one of the things that you've been doing a lot lately in promoting your book and telling people about Frank Perdue, what the lessons you learned from him and his life, your life together, and are some of the things that all of us can learn from Frank, especially young people. You've been going to schools and talking to them, haven't you?
I've been talking with dozens of business schools, and that's exciting because Frank was at heart a teacher. And I feel as if I have the privilege of telling people some of the things that he used to teach while he was still alive.
Mm-hmm. Give us an example of something you think that Frank would have said to them if he were here.
Well, one of the things that he would tell students was, in your 20s, you learn, and in your 30s, you earn. Mm-hmm. And what he meant by that was, if you're a student, pick work that gives you a chance to learn and grow and find out what you're good at and what you love, mm-hmm. and don't pay attention to the salary, because mm-hmm. in your 20s you earn, you're trying it out. That's a time when you can afford to experiment, because you, with luck, you don't have a mortgage to pay yet.
Right, you're learning, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. And I've told a lot of people that. You know, I used to tell people who wanted to go into the life insurance business, I said, well, go start doing that when you're 20s, when you don't have a lot of big bills, when you're trying to build a network and a book of business. And it's that way in almost any industry, any profession. I agree with that.
Let me jump in and tell another thing that I observed that he's very, very good at, and that I think that a lot of students would benefit from knowing. Frank was a world-class marketer. He was a one-in-a-million businessman. But as I watched him during our life together, I think that it would be very typical of him to talk 10% and listen 90%. And you know, for somebody who was so knowledgeable to still be listening instead of talking, I thought that was admirable. I thought it was important.
He used the ratio of ears and mouth proportionally, didn't he?
Exactly. And I thought it was impressive that he was just always learning, and he wasn't trying to show off. He was interested in you, and he was going to make you feel important, as well as he was going to learn from you.
You know, that's something that's really a gift, isn't it? I mean, I know a lot of really good people who have a hard time subordinating themselves to others. And I guess we probably all have a little bit of this in us, but I've met people like Frank before. I didn't meet Frank, but I've known people like him who really could be justifiably intimidating. But they chose to be subordinate to what you've got going on, to what you're interested in. And as you say, they made you feel like you were the one to be intimidated by.
Yeah, he was. I mean, I think that he had a total positive gift for making people feel important. Because, well, I'll give you a kind of backwards example of that. I remember early on in our relationship, he would coach me not to talk about fancy parties that I've been to or trips to Europe or whatever, because he said, don't do that. That makes the person you're talking with feel less important. Mm-hmm. It may make you feel more important, but that's not your goal. You want the other person to feel good. So talk about the strong points of the other person.
Well, exactly. Go ahead.
Oh, just something that I observed about Frank. I interviewed 134 people to write the book. And over again, they would describe their interactions with him as delightful. I mean, they enjoyed being with him. And I think part of it is his human relation skills of making the other person feel important. Mm-hmm. But, you know, another thing that he was really good at, and I think that had a lot to do with how he was such a success, he was very good at getting information. And within that, he was very good at not biasing the information that he'd get. And this is, again, I think advice that I'd give to any of the listeners to the Small Business Advocate, which is when he was asking for information, you didn't know ahead of time what he wanted. And to explain what I mean by that a little bit more, have you ever had the experience with a boss where the boss is asking your advice, but you really know what the boss wants to hear, and the temptation to tell the boss what the boss wants
right.
to hear is just enormous?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And oftentimes, you might be wrong about what the boss wants.
but in any case, Frank was simply famous for not letting you know because he wanted your honest opinion. He didn't want it mm-hmm. pushed one way or the other. And I've talked with people who said that he would ask questions in such a way that you really didn't know what he wanted. You really wanted to know what you thought.
The most powerful management question I know is, what do you think?
Yes, exactly. That would be almost Frank's mantra. And then another thing that I thought that he was very good at when getting information, he would be much more interested in hearing the negative than the positive. In fact, somebody could come to him with a glowing report of how sales had gone in Boston. Say, and I'm going to pick an example of, I could have picked any store, but the one that comes mm-hmm. to my mind is Pathmark. So he's talking with the salesman, and the salesman is saying, yeah, the delivery's on time, the packages are intact, the proportion of product that we're getting is what they want. Mm-hmm. And Frank would tell him, no, tell me the bad news, because I can't work on what's good. I can only correct what's bad.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, and I thought it was neat that he was very, very good about ferreting out the things that he could do something about. It wasn't a great big ego trip for him of, hey,
exactly.
It was
the book is called Tough Man, Tender Chicken by Mitzi Perdue. MITZI. She and I will be right back after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.